Well, I want to start today with a Hindu story about a man who one day came to a forest, and he was sitting under a tree. A gentle breeze was blowing, and as he looked around, he saw that the forest he was sitting in was very beautiful. And he said, if only, you know, as he's looking at this beautiful forest, he says, if only I had a companion, he thought, I would be completely happy. A beautiful woman appeared. The tree he was sitting under was a divine wish-fulfilling tree, which means that if anyone sitting under it makes a wish, that wish is instantly fulfilled. The man was enraptured. They sat together for a while, and they were content. But then he thought, well, it's a pity to have to sit under this tree exposed to the elements. It would be nice if we had a house with a few bedrooms and a dining room equipped with all the amenities. Then I would lack nothing. Immediately, the house he had wished for appeared. Delighted, he went into the house with his sweetie. And he said, what's the point of living like this? I'd like to have a lord. If only we had a butler, I'd like to live like a lord. If we only had a butler and a couple of servants. And in a twinkling of an eye, a butler and two servants appeared. The man said to his servants, prepare for us two delectable meals. And before long, the butler brought trays of gourmet food. The man tasted the food, and it was delicious. But then he started to wonder. Fear crept in, and he said to himself, what's going on? I wished for a wife, and she appeared. Then I wished for a house, and I got this beautiful house. Then I wished for a butler and two servants, and they appeared. Then I wished for delectable dishes, and they too materialized. What's going on here? No way can all this be happening to me. There must be evil here. And at that moment, a demon appeared in front of him with his mouth wide open. He said, oh, no, he's going to eat me up. The man cried, and of course, the demon devoured him. And that's the end of the story. So this fellow was wrapped up in his imagination, which is where we all live. Well, when he first started visualizing, it was all the good things, right? And then he imagined, through the process of imagining them, though, he also imagined a demon, fear. Now, within each one of us, there is a divine wish-fulfilling tree. But we, however, get into imagining often our greatest fear. You know, my dream's never going to come true. The economy isn't right. I don't have the education. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. Whatever it is. And when we imagine the demon or the fear, the negative thought, then all of a sudden the fear begins to take form. And we're surprised. Go figure. But now, if instead of imagining the demon, our friend had kept his mind focused on God, on love, on anything positive, everything would have turned out differently, right? You bet. You bet. Because our thoughts create our world. Our thoughts create our world. So when you keep your mind on God, the world is very different. You step into a world of freedom. You step into a world of your greatest, most incredible imagination. Today we're in week two of our 8-week fall program. And our program is called Thriving, Not Just Surviving. And it's based on this wonderful book, Spiritual Economics, by author and Unity minister Eric Butterworth. And what we're discovering is that it's not about getting rich. It's not about acquiring stuff. But rather, it's about cultivating a consciousness in which we can thrive no matter what's going on in the world around you. Would that be helpful? Last week, we learned the truth about substance. we learned that we live and move and have our very beingness in an ocean of God substance. So let's say this together. We live in an ocean of God substance. God is everywhere present, infinite, unlimited, never depleted. And that's the truth. We live in this ocean of God. And this God substance is in and through all of life. This God substance stands under everything that exists. And so knowing that, what we're going to do this week is I want to talk about how we can take this God substance, this invisible God substance that we live and move and swim in, and how we can take it and begin to mold and form it, this God substance, into what we can see and experience. Because the truth is that you're always creating. You cannot not create. Because you're made in the image and likeness of your Creator, which is creation itself creating through you. Did you get that? You are made in the image and likeness of creation, which is creation itself creating through you. So the $64,000 question is, what are you creating? I want to do a little exercise. I want you to imagine up here that there's this big bell jar. Okay, a big bell jar with a long, skinny neck. And in the bell jar is a goose. Okay, just imagine that. In this bell jar here is a goose. Now, he's kind of scrunched in there. He can't move very well. So your job and the question I have for you is, how are you going to get the goose out of the jar without breaking it and without harming the goose? And I want you to take a moment and turn to a neighbor. And before you do that, I'm just going to, if you know the answer, quiet, don't tell. Let your partner figure it out. But I want you to just take a moment and just discuss with somebody near you, how would you, just brainstorm some ways, how would you get that goose out of the jar without breaking the jar or harming the goose? Just take a few moments. Turn to somebody and see what you can come up with. You know it. You can't break it. Hey, what are some of the ideas that you're coming up with? What? Turn it over, but it's got a long, skinny neck. How's the goose going to come out of it? Unless it's a no bob. Okay, that's an interesting idea. What else? She got it. She got it. The answer is simple. You imagined the goose in the jar. You can imagine him out of the jar. It's all in your imagination. You get him out the same way you put him in. So isn't that really the way life works? It's the law. It's our third basic unity principle, the law of mind action. Let's say this together. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. Eric Butterworth would call that the law of consciousness. You might have heard it as the law of attraction, but your thoughts can be conscious or unconscious. They can be inherited. They can be self-invented. But your thoughts create your experiences according to your belief. Follow that? Your thoughts create your experiences according to your belief. Eric Butterworth writes in Spiritual Economics, things may happen around you, things may happen to you, but the only things that really count are the things that happen in you. That's what really counts, is how are you reacting to within you to what's happening around you or to you. He goes on to say, you are a living magnet, constantly drawing to you the people and the circumstances which are in accord with your thoughts. Jesus put it like this. He said, whatever you ask for in prayer with faith and do not doubt, you will receive. Whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive. And so when Jesus started laying out the foundation of his teachings, there were some people who were following him that left because they weren't willing to do the work. And it takes work. It takes focus. You know, it takes being responsible for what you're thinking, what you're saying, what you're doing, what you're imaging or imagining. And if you are willing to take full responsibility for your life and the fact that your level of thinking has gotten you to where you are right now, the great news, the good news is that by changing your consciousness, by changing your thinking, you can change the experiences of your life. Isn't that good news? And so there's no blame or shame. You know, just acknowledging and taking responsibility that your life is where it is because of your level of thinking that has gotten you here today, and by changing that thinking, you can change your life, the experiences of your life. You know, take the economy, for example. Did you and I cause the economic conditions in the world? No. But we all played a part in creating it. Listen to what Eric Butterworth says. He says, one thing which economists do agree upon is that business conditions always tend to reflect the level of confidence of the people. Business conditions tend to reflect the level of confidence of the people. So it's dependent on our reactions of faith or fear, whether or not we're thinking negatively, speaking negatively, and reacting negatively. Eric continues, you do not cause economic conditions, though we all share in the cumulative consciousness that is the cause. But if you give them reality by your negative thoughts or conversations about them, then you become synchronized with the energy flow which has a swift influence on your life. So the trick here is don't give them a lot of power or attention. Don't talk about them. Don't dwell on them. Don't kind of spiral down in them. but because then you synchronize yourself with that and you'll begin to attract more of that to you. Your personal well-being begins in your consciousness. Let me say that again. Your personal well-being begins in your consciousness. It's not what happens on Wall Street or on Main Street or in Washington, D.C. It's not the state of the economy. It's the state of your mind. And so we're not hoping for a miracle. Because when we're dealing with changeless law, with infinite spiritual, eternal spiritual principles, we don't have to play games like that. Because our work is to know how to work with divine law, is to know that with God all things are possible, and to know how to form and shape this ever-present God substance that is around us. And so imagination, it's God's gift to you to imagine. We are all imagineers. We imagine constantly. Your mind is constantly creating stuff. You are a point in the mind of God, and God is always creating, and so therefore you cannot not create. you can experience a life, your life, you know, over and over again. You can have this experience and over, year after year, you can have the same life experience over and over again. Or you can consciously mold and shape this God substance in order to create what you're imagining. It's like having 25 years experience in life or having 1 year's experience 25 times. Which would you prefer? I hope it's the second one that we get to, or the first one, that we get to have just wonderful experiences in life rather than experiencing the same thing over and over and over again. Because anything you experience in life first began as a thought held in mind, and it begins to reproduce after its kind, creating your life. And so your thoughts, gathering God's substance, this life energy that you're immersed in, your thoughts create what you experience as your life. So what are you holding in your mind? It would really be a good idea to start being aware of what it is you're thinking. What is your self-talk? What are you saying to yourself all day long? You know, because what you think, where you put your attention, where your dreams are, where your deepest heart's desire is, you know, what you think, what you say all day, that's what you're spending time creating. And so just take a look at that and say, are you happy with it? You know, are you happy? When you look around, are you happy with what you see? And if not, all it means is there's some work there for you to do. Again, no shame, no blame. You're observing. Am I happy with what I see around in my life? You know, if not, there's just so, and the universe, God will show you areas of your life that you need to do some work in. You know, the universe is extremely loving. It's just pointing to you to notice and maybe re-choose or reimagine your life. A key to visualizing correctly is to train your eyes to see properly. Eric states it like this: seeing is not believing, but believing is seeing. Whatever you believe to be true, that's what you'll see. That's why five different people can see the exact same thing and have five different opinions about what just happened. You hear that all the time. A car accident happened. You can, you know, eyewitnesses can, the different kind makes a car, models a car, colors a car. I mean, how many? Everybody sees through the lenses of their own eyes. What you believe is what you begin to see. Eric then goes on to say, you see things not as they are, but as you are. Your perception is shaped according to your previous experiences, according to your faith, according to where you are in consciousness. When something in your world is awry, if there's inharmony in the office, if a business venture is not working out, or if a bank balance is insufficient to meet current obligations, normally, Eric says, the first concern is to set it right. However, when you understand the law of visualization, you will realize that the greatest need is not to set it right, but to what? See it rightly. You know, we want to try to fix everything out here. You know, if I move to another state, if I change husbands, if I, you know, change jobs, everything will be right. No, you don't set it right, but see it rightly. You begin to see it differently all of a sudden. The work you're doing is, hey, maybe it's not so bad. You know, maybe these people aren't such jerks. You know, when you see it rightly, everything can change. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, he said very simply, thoughts plus feelings equals the demonstration. Thoughts plus feelings equal the demonstration. And so, it's not just fleeting thoughts. People think, oh my God, every thought. No, thoughts plus feelings. So thoughts that you're holding on to and you're giving a lot of energy into, that you're talking about and you're thinking about, thoughts that you focus on all day long. They set up a condition in your mind that will attract that particular result. It's inevitable. And then you begin to vibrate on a level that begins to attract those experiences to you. For example, worry. Worry has a certain frequency, which is very low. If you read Power versus Force, what's his name again? David Hawkins. He has a vibrational scale. Worry's way down. There, and you begin to attract things to you to worry about. It's like our friend Job in the Old Testament, the book of Job. He says, "What I fear the most has come upon me." Of course. Of course. That's the way the mind works. What you fear the most will eventually come to you. You've just willed it to do that. You've asked it to do that by focusing on it. So change your thoughts and you'll change your mind. And you'll change you'll change your mind and you'll change your mind and you change the world. So don't let the daily Dow Jones be your personal mood meter. I know people who, it will up and down, up and down. I've stopped looking at my pension. I'm not going to do that roller coaster ride. Don't let other people determine how you're going to think and feel. I love when Jesus said, "Don't judge by appearances, judge with right judgment." And I especially love, my favorite translation right now is the Message Bible, and it says it this way: "Don't be nitpickers. Use your head and your heart to discern what is right, to test what is authentically right." I love that. Use your head and your heart to decide what's right. See from a consciousness of this ever-present God substance. Jesus said, "You are here to be light. So shine. Shine. Just do it. Start it. Start being that light." You know, just step into that light. See from God consciousness. Centered yourself in this God substance that is all around you. Be that light. Open yourself to seeing differently. For where you are in consciousness has everything to do with what you see in experience. Where you are in consciousness has everything to do with what you see in your experience. And so see affluence everywhere. Last week we talked about affluence simply means an abundant flow. So if you see yourself in an abundant flow of the universe, that's the lens that you'll see the world through. Right? And you'll begin to see affluence everywhere. Not a bad thing. And that's prosperity consciousness. You carry that vibration with you, and then everything you see, you will see everything you see, you'll be seeing through the eyes of affluence. You'll see things as you are, not as the world is trying to tell you things are. You'll see the world as you are. Eric Butterworth writes in Spiritual Economics, he said, "Politicians are known to view with alarm as they evaluate the condition of the economy. Economic forecasters may also predict chaos in the marketplace. However, you have a choice. You can decide where you are going to throw the weight of your consciousness and the welfare," and I love this, "and the welfare," and he wrote this in 1993. It's almost as if he wrote it for us today. "The welfare of the nation as a whole is determined by the attitude of we the people." The whole economy, here's a solution to our entire economic problem, right here in this sentence. "The whole economy can be swiftly turned around if the majority of the population would engage in positive thinking, seeing abundance everywhere." We can change the whole situation around, the whole economy, by engaging in positive thinking and seeing abundance everywhere. There's no lack in the universe. There is no lack of money on this planet. There's tons of money. Tons of it. And I don't know why we're going to this fear. Let's think abundance. Think that, know that God is our source. Abundance is our nature. We say it every Sunday, but let's start believing it and let's start living as it. So I have an assignment for you this week. And your assignment is for one full day to think and speak only positive, uplifting, life-affirming words. Okay, which means no gossip, no put-downs, no criticizing, no complaining, no whining, no moaning. And I know you're probably saying, what am I going to talk about? But I introduced this idea to you about a year ago when I think my second or third lesson that I did here a year ago when I got to Unity of Bellevue, remember I introduced to you Emmett Fox's The 7-Day Mental Diet. Same thing, but I asked for 7 days, no thinking and speaking only positive, uplifting, life-affirming words. Didn't go very well. I kept asking, and I'm not sure anybody got through the 7 days. So right before Easter, during the Lenten period, I also introduced for Lent, said, let's eliminate negative thinking. For one day throughout the time of Lent, one day, a lot more of you did that. So we're just going to keep trying over. We're going to keep trying, and we're going to do this. We're going to do this. For one full day, think and speak only positive, uplifting, life-affirming words. Now, if you slip and you find that you say something that's less than becoming of a spiritual being like you are, and doesn't really reflect your divine essence, not a problem. You just start the next day all over again. So it may take you these 8 weeks to get through this. But we're going to try by the end of our program. I'll keep checking back with you. One full day. And just notice, though, when you begin to practice it, your life will turn around. So remember that today's words become tomorrow's reality. Today's words become tomorrow's reality. And so we're like boats going through life, and we leave a wake. So what is the wake that you're leaving behind you? What's the life that you're creating? You are creating a life. Make it a great one. So I invite you to take the affirmation card that you were handed with your bulletin as you came in. Does anybody need one? Okay, and where you see that blank, and if you need one, Richard has some. He can bring some to you. So if you need one, raise your hand. But this is week two, this ivory little affirmation card. And where you see the blank space, I'm going to ask you to put your name when we say it. I, Nancy Worth, see myself experiencing great success. So when we say this together, you're going to put your name in there. And then if you're willing to embody this and work with this during the week, I invite you to sign that either now or sign it when you get home. But sometimes sign it and then put it in a place where you can really work with the affirmation. And every week you're going to get one. So by the end of the program, you'll have 8 affirmation cards. They're great to keep handy when you forget. You can remember the truth of who you are. And if you weren't able to join a spiritual connection group, we had groups starting all over the area this week, then pick up a study guide. We have a couple, if you're not computer literate, we have some study guides, I think, in the bookstore. You can ask Pat for one. Or you can just print out the study guide at unityofbellevue.org. And your bulletin every week, the reading is there. Pick up a book and read it as we go along. And really, let's take this 8 weeks to really work on this and really get it into our DNA so that we can create the life that we want to live. So let's say this affirmation together, and we have it up here as well. Together, I am strong, confident, capable, and successful as I move in the direction of my dreams. I, Nancy Worth, see myself experiencing great success, for I am born to win. And that is the truth. God bless you. Have a great week.